Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, July 28th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
En français, comment c'est comme ça?
Ooh la la. And presumably not French today, John Martellaro.
I am peachy keen here.
See? Told you. He's peachy keen. He's not French. Yeah. I mean, they don't have to be exclusive, but for John, apparently today, they are. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, Harry's, the Razor Company, which is totally awesome. And we have a couple really cool things to talk about today. First thing that I wanted to take a look at is the news that Google is kind of revamping Google Plus, their social networking service, and they're pulling some things out and they're taking away some of the requirements for the way it's used. And Brian, you wrote this up, so fill us in.
Well, they I'm not sure revamping is quite the right word, but...
Well, I didn't want to say scaling back, because I don't think that's exactly the right word.
Well, I think that actually is exactly the right word.
All right, then. Then I'll just go back and edit this.
Okay,
and,
good.
And
excellent.
Change it to say scale back, and no one will ever know. Yeah, we use the same editing crew for daily observations that we use for Apple Context Machine.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, top men.
So, what Google is doing is completely going back on the whole idea that Google Plus was going to be the umbrella platform that you had to be on Google Plus to basically use most of Google's services outside of search. So YouTube will be the first service to get this treatment. You'll be able to access, anyone can go on to YouTube at any time, but some content is blocked off, and anything that's age limited you have to be signed in for to access. And you can't have a channel, that sort of stuff. You can't subscribe to anything. You can't comment, all that stuff. You will be able to do that with any Google account, i.e. any Gmail account, for instance, rather than a Google Plus, a Google Plus ID. And Google has already pulled out a few things from Google Plus, like they moved some of the photo stuff to the Photos app.
Which makes sense.
It does make sense. Where's the other one here? Location sharing. It's being decoupled from Google Plus, which is a good thing.
That should make you happy, John.
Yes. Let's assume that it does. Maybe yes. He hit that mute button on his mouse again. And like I said, this is basically a retrenchment from the idea that Google Plus is going to be the umbrella platform for everything. And here's what's interesting. This is what I wrote in my piece. I said, think about these things for a moment. One, Google's mindshare in search is near absolute. Company's brand is powerful and mostly positive. Two, there are more than a billion Android users on the planet. Theoretically, most of these people have Google Plus accounts too, by definition. Three, Google made the rest of us sign up for Google Plus to access most of its non-search services also. And four, many of us have a love-hate relationship with Facebook that plumbs the depths of dysfunctionality.
I love that line.
Thank you.
I do too.
Yet, despite all of those factors, Google Plus is a distant also-ran to Facebook in the social networking service. Most people don't think about it. This is how I'm going to quote myself again. It's a distant also-ran to Facebook beyond its hardcore adherence in the echo chamber. Most folks don't think about Google Plus ever.
Which is really interesting. Here's a company as big as Google, and they, in essence, strong-armed people into signing up for their social network service.
And no one used it.
And no one used it.
I mean, people do use it. But it's just, like I said, it's a distant also-ran. I mean, and there are some people who are only on Google Plus. That's for sure, but there's just not that many.
And there are people that absolutely love it, and that's great too.
I think Google Plus's greatest success right now is saying that, hey, hooray, we beat Ello. And, you know, that's just not saying much. Poor Ello.
Poor Ello. You know, every now and then I'll get an email saying I have a new Ello follower. Uh-huh. And every time I get that one of those emails, I sit back and I think, I have an Ello account.
Yeah, I wish Ello had taken off, but Ello didn't take off either. I mean, no one is at this point. I mean, you know, if Google can't, if a company like Google can't go toe to toe with Facebook,
designed by committee with agenda.
Well, John, you just hit on one of the key things there, an agenda.
I talked about it
a little bit too, Brian.
I did talk a little bit about that. But, I mean, it's not that Google Plus was designed by committee per se. It's that it was hijacked by committee and then had the agenda tacked onto it. The Circles interface, I think the Circles interface is interesting. It's good. It's innovative. It's different from Facebook. It's the thing that was designed by Andy Hertzfeld for those keeping score at home. But it's that agenda of making it the way to, so Google is like super interested in having everything we do on the internet attached to our own names and our own identities,
which for Google totally makes sense because
it's really awesome for Google.
Yeah. I mean, the more information they have about us in one location, the more marketable we are as a product for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And what am I trying to say here? That doesn't do anything for us. It's really, as you said, Jeff, it's good for Google, but it doesn't do anything for us. I will quote myself again. It fills no need and it creates no want. It doesn't even do anything for us, let alone start down the path of delighting us.
That's probably why I'm not on Google Plus, because I never saw a case made why I needed to be on it. And all the fuss that was about it in the early days, I never saw a convincing argument that I need to be here. And so I thought I would just wait and see how it went and watch and observe. And I figured there would come a day when it was, everybody figured it out and we knew what to do with it and we knew what the advantages were and we'd all jump on it. The day never came.
Well, John, with Google services, considering the track record they have, if you wait long enough, you don't have to sign up at all because
that's right.
It goes away.
It goes into the slate, the graveyard.
Yeah, with so many other things. But yeah, the big thing here is Google just learned the hard way. They can't compete with Facebook in the social networking world.
Well, which is interesting because Facebook is just a terrible company that also makes us the product. And, you know, they do awful things all the time. I mean, they clearly have no respect for us as human beings whatsoever, to wit, performing psychological experiments on us without our awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, and
that,
and just
that was pretty bad.
It's just freaking awful. It's just, I just absolutely hate that.
Just call us Algernon.
Yeah, fair enough. And they always push the barrier on our privacy and you know, always err towards taking too much and taking too many liberties with our information. Facebook is a terrible company. We are the product with them just as much as we are with Google, and yet, you know, they remain the undisputed king of social networking at this point.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people that want to say Twitter is the king because they prefer that, but no, it's Facebook. Facebook owns the social networking market.
Well, and they exist side by side. You know, Facebook and the competition between Facebook and Twitter is not a zero-sum game.
No, it's not.
But the competition between Google Plus and Facebook largely is a zero-sum game. Largely.
Yeah. That's pretty harsh for Google. Yeah. All right. So now we know who's won this, or who has won this round of the social networking wars. And that would be Facebook, because Google sure didn't win.
Well, and we probably don't have time to go into it, but we can also go Facebook 1 and Ping 0, Apple 0.
Yeah. Oh, poor Apple, poor Ping.
I like Ping, man.
You know, you're right. We don't have time, but here we go anyhow. Ping just didn't stand a chance because Apple shot themselves in the foot before they even got the service launched because they pissed off Facebook.
Yeah, with Facebook integration out the door, Ping could have been a success.
Right, but Apple chose to announce Facebook support without ever discussing it with Facebook. And
without being willing to pay for it.
And without being willing to pay for it. And the next thing you know, they are shut out.
Yeah, and Mark Zuckerberg knew that he was the one with the power in this particular space, despite the fact that Facebook was a much smaller company than Apple, even though Apple, of course, was a much smaller company than it is today.
True, but Facebook had a much larger social network presence than Apple did.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg stuck to his guns and he killed it, which is it's a shame because Ping was cool. Ping's cool. I liked Ping. I really liked Ping.
Yeah, Ping had a lot of potential. I wish it hadn't been a dead man walking. Yeah. Anyhow, hey, how about a happier note? We have a sponsor this week. And yay. That sponsor is Harry's, the Razor Company. And Harry's, if you're not familiar with them, they're a company that makes their own products. So the razor blades, the handles that go with them, they have their own shaving cream and shaving gel. And this stuff is really good. I mean, they make really good stuff. They have their own factory in Germany where they're making their blades. And unlike other disposable cartridges where you pay a fortune and they get dull way too fast and they're just disappointing, the stuff from Harry's is really affordable, really good quality, and it lasts. Maybe this is too much information. I don't know. My beard grows really fast. So I can't get away with skipping a day shaving if I need to look clean. And that means in the old days, I was having to replace razor blades far too often, which led me to switching over to safety razors because I could get a much higher quality blade at a much lower price. And I left the disposable replaceable cartridge styles behind and was glad to do so. Then Harry's comes along and I start trying out their products and I was really impressed because all of a sudden I'm getting from a disposable cartridge the same quality shave that I'm getting from the safety razors that I had totally fallen in love with. And that's saying a lot because I'm pretty picky. So what you guys need to do is go to the Harry's website. That's HARRYS.com. And pick out the starter kit that you like. I went with the Truman because I just happen to like it the best. And then buy it. It's $15, but for you, it's only going to be $10 because Harry's gave me a discount code to pass on to you, and that's TDO. So just use that TDO, which stands for TMO Daily Observations. Get $5 off your starter kit, so it's only $10. They don't charge you shipping. So that means $10 to your door. And when you need new supplies, like new razor blades, no problem. You just order them super cheap, and they get sent to your door, no shipping charges either. Totally awesome. Absolutely fantastic products, and you really need to try them out. So head over to their website, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO, get $5 off that first order, and start getting a better shave today. Well, if you order it today, in a couple days. And thank you, Harry's, for being our sponsor. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is something that that you were looking at, John. And you started talking about how Apple is a big company now, and yet so many people are looking at it and treating it as if it's still a small company, and that we need to change the way we're thinking about Apple as a business.
Yeah, it can be irritating in a sense to admit that Apple's very, very large and has grandiose plans and major large projects, and that they don't go perfectly all the time. I was talking to Kelly after the article got published, and I was equating it to the situation of a nuclear aircraft carrier. It's got a big mission profile. It's very expensive. It's got a lot of complex parts and nuclear reactors and jet fighters. And so one of the lieutenants is appalled that his cabin door doesn't close correctly. And because he left it open in a jar, his iPod got stolen, and now he's really pissed that the shipbuilder can't do anything right. And he's annoyed that he's personally got into some difficulty and his life is miserable because his iPod is gone and he's got his notes from his wife back home. So, he's bitching about how this aircraft carrier sucks and the shipbuilder doesn't know how to do anything right, when in fact the ship is cruising on and planes are launching off the deck and missions are being accomplished. So you have to kind of, unfortunately, I think, look at Apple, and I say unfortunately because it's a mental shift in gears that's hard to do. This is a very large company, $200 billion in the bank, $200 billion a year in annual revenues. They're going to engage in some very massive, very large projects that are going to go well for most people. And there is going to be significant problems for many people who are going to write about them. And the temptation is to read these articles and say, because there was a problem for this person and because maybe I had some problems, the whole thing is corrupt and useless and Apple has gone wrong and they have failed miserably. And this gets magnified by the echo chamber to the point where you get a lot of people saying, Apple Music is a failure because it wasn't perfect for all people all the time. And I was thinking about that last week when I was off, because I'm still doing a lot of reading, and I was noticing that, and I had a chance to reflect and ponder on that. And it's just not possible anymore. Apple's too big. The internet's too big. The projects that Apple launches are too big. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't approach them smarter. And in the article, I mentioned that I would have preferred to see a more gradual spiral rollout of Apple Music, where, say, Beats Radio was introduced, and then there was a lot of preparation and education for the next step in rolling it out. But Apple tends to make these giant rollouts. They got to stop doing that. They got to start testing more and incrementally introducing features, and then have a re-grand opening or something like that later. But even so, Apple's so large now that I think it's just not fruitful anymore to complain bitterly about small technical difficulties. Everybody's going to have something going wrong some of the time with these major projects. And you can write about it, but it isn't going to do you any good. What's going to do some good is Apple collecting information from the users, figuring out what the major problems are, going into the radar database, getting the major things fixed and being aware of it. And they're listening. As we mentioned in the show yesterday, Apple's listening. They're addressing issues. They've talked to our Bob Levitis about a problem he was having with Siri and music. So, Apple is aware of these issues. They've got a lot of engineering talent. They fix them. They're respectful of the users, and they're under a lot of pressure from executive management. So this whole business of saying Apple Music is a failure, it's no good, it screwed me, Apple can't do anything right, it's just a waste of time. The aircraft carrier and the mission carries on, even if your door is ajar.
And for the most part, to go with your analogy, the aircraft carrier is perfectly fine and is really good. It just so happens you have one lieutenant's door, or a few doors, that may not close right.
Right. Now, so that was the gist of my article.
Do you think that some of this is brought on by Apple themselves? I mean, for a long time, and I think this is changing a little bit, but I'm sure I'm curious if you think the same thing. For a long time, Apple ran as if it were still kind of in a startup mode.
Where, they still do. That's part of Apple University. It's part of the culture that Steve institutionalized.
Do you think that's changing at all, though, considering the company is just so big now?
I think they'd like to, but I think that the size weighs against that. They have 80 million Mac customers. They have, 500 million credit cards, 500 or 700 million iOS users, roughly, I'm guessing. So when you have that many customers out there, you really can't act like a startup company anymore that nails everything perfectly. When Apple was just coming out with OS X back in 2001, Apple didn't have the iPhone, and it didn't have the iPod, and it didn't have iPads, and it didn't have Apple Music.
Let me cut ahead.
You could
though,
just
John.
Focus on one thing and do something really well.
Let me cut ahead though. I think that product development still runs very lean and still runs in a startup mode. I think the support and infrastructure of the company to support all its products certainly cannot run lean. But even their development within those support structures is still going to run lean. In other words, when they're looking at how to change something, they're still going to be doing that with small teams and not trying to do everything with committee, et cetera.
That is true. But remember, about a month ago or 2 months ago, there was a birdie on my shoulder, and I was talking to it about quality assurance. And the birdie assured me that Apple was not negligent. Apple didn't have enough resources for quality assurance testing.
Well,
and that was introducing some of these problems where people were complaining, readers were saying it doesn't just work anymore.
That's speaking to my point, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, Apple and so is still running in startup mode. Maybe they shouldn't be in some ways.
Well, you can have a lean team so that you don't have – well, it's the principle of you. If you add twice as many programmers, the project takes three times longer. Right. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't invest a large amount of money in quality assurance. And maybe Apple, in recognition of the fact that they just – didn't want to or couldn't hire enough people to do quality testing, have opened up the doors to the public beta tests, unlike the past, as a way around that, and say, hey, look, we can solve this problem. We'll have millions of quality assurance testers.
But there's one last thing, though. Apple is still, I mean, Apple has around 40,000 employees right now, not counting retail employees. And GM has... I think more than a million. Walmart has more than a million. Apple is a tiny company compared to other large companies, and it brings in a lot more in revenue.
Well,
that's true.
My point is that large companies have large ambitions, but they also have large responsibilities. And if you're in a Pollyanna mode, trying to hark back to the days of OS X when it first came out, and you don't recognize the level of effort that takes to support hundreds of millions of customers, then problems ensue too. So large companies have large responsibilities as well as large ambitions, and you have to balance the two.
We are so out of time.
Yes, we are.
So, John, even though I know you could keep going.
I could, but let's wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to cut you off there. Sorry about that. Anyhow, thank you, John, for being here today.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yep.
And Harry's, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself $5 off your first order. So that starter kit's only going to cost you $10, and then you'll have an awesome shave. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.